All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys.
Hi, everybody.
What an insane day today.
Yeah.
Is. Okay, so Vice President Gore was on the show earlier. If you missed any of it, tytnetwork.com/join. Last 2 days now of free membership. So this is the time to act. Free TYT is the promo code when you go to that link. And you get a whole month of membership free. You get the whole show whenever you want it, ad free. Okay, the Ryan Lizette story on Scaramucci is insane.
It's so good.
Some of the best lines I've ever seen in politics, to be fair to him.
It's so good. I tweeted it. So if you guys want to read it, just go to my Twitter.
We'll do something on it soon, okay? So we're just trying to keep up with the news. It's going like a fucking freight train. I can't catch it. Anyway, we got a whole second hour for you guys. So.
You know what Scaramucci is?
Uh-huh.
He's triggered. Like so triggered.
How has Trump not fired someone today? Like, you either got to fire Reince or you got to fire Scaramucci. But you can't keep them both in the same house. This is insane. Huh. He said they're like Cain and Abel. They're going to murder each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let alone what he apparently thinks of Steve Bannon. Hold. Hold. We'll somehow get that to you later. Okay. All right. So, Anna, go ahead.
All right. Following Donald Trump's decision to randomly and surprisingly ban transgender individuals from the military through a series of tweets, people started questioning the medical costs that taxpayers essentially have to pay for when it comes to members of our military and also veterans. And so Trump's argument was, oh, it's gonna be too expensive to take care of the medical procedures for these trans veterans, when in reality, it's only going to be a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of what the Pentagon pays in healthcare costs. And then people brought up the example of erectile dysfunction drugs and how the Pentagon actually does spend a considerable amount of money on that. So just to give you the exact numbers, the Pentagon's annual spending on erectile dysfunction medications is about $84 million a year. When it comes to transition related healthcare for trans military members, the Rand Institute estimated that at most it would be $8.4 million. So again, it's a tiny fraction of what they spend on erectile dysfunction drugs, let alone what they spend on healthcare overall for our military members. Now, keep in mind that they also have spent a whopping $294 million on Viagra, Cialis, and other such medications since 2011. So we're spending a lot of money on making sure that, you know, our vets and our military get the stiffies that they need, which is fine. I actually have no problem with that, okay? Because a lot of our members, a lot of military members suffer from PTSD. That leads to erectile dysfunction. Look, we need to do right by our soldiers, okay? I think that's the right thing to do. And I'm not gonna get in there and be like, what are you doing? Are you taking erectile dysfunction drugs? Am I paying for it, right? I don't wanna get involved in their lives like that. But, you know, the right wing does, so.
Yeah, so just give me some perspective here. Look, I believe in the troops' rights to stand a post. Or to raise the flag. I'm not trying to take that away from them. But you can't complain about how expensive it is to provide healthcare for trans soldiers and then say something that's completely optional. I mean, I know what you're thinking if you're a guy, like, I don't know that sex is optional, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear you, brother, but. It's not life-saving, it's not part of your identity, and it's et cetera, et cetera. I'm not trying to take it away from you,
yeah.
But it costs 10 times more.
Right.
So it is not about the cost. And look, that goes to the idea that people bring up, which is that, yeah, most of the lawmakers are males. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to Viagra and all that stuff, they just don't question it. They're like, of course we need erections, but this is, which monstrous person wouldn't want me to be able to get medication and pay for it that allows me to have babies. But then when you turn around and Rush Limbaugh says, if you want birth control, you're a slut.
Yeah, that's
and why
right.
Why should health insurance have to pick up birth control, which is a super tangential to Rush Limbaugh and whatever bills he pays for healthcare, right?
Right, and look, to be quite honest with you, we put our soldiers through so much, multiple deployments, taking them away from their friends and their families multiple times just so they can go to these senseless wars in the Middle East. And so they go through a lot, not only physically, but psychologically. And so when it comes to, you know, psychological issues that they face, of course, PTSD is one of the biggest issues that, in my opinion, continues to go untreated. They're still not being given the resources necessary to combat that. But hey, you know what? Private contractors, there's no problem signing contracts with them and making them wealthy while we, you know, essentially put our soldiers at risk. Just to give you numbers, I want to read this because it's unbelievable. So there was a study in 2014 by the Armed Forces Health Surveillance Branch, and they found that 100,242 cases of erectile dysfunction were diagnosed among active service members between 2004 and 2013, with annual incidence rates more than doubling in that time period.
Wow, that's so really interesting.
So we've been escalating war, you know, in the Middle East, and it's having a negative impact on them. So look, I'm saying all this because I don't want to get involved in their lives. I don't want to tell them what drugs they can and can't take, what should be covered, what shouldn't be covered. But I think the same type of respect should be extended to the trans community as well, especially if they're going to put their lives on the line to defend the country.
And one last stat for you guys. In Donald Trump's just first 80 days, okay, not all the way through his administration, the expenses that the American taxpayer had to pick up for just his optional trips to Mar-a-Lago so that he can golf on the weekends, something criticized President Obama for, was $20 million. So what, about 2.5 times what it takes to cover all trans people in the military, mm-hmm. all their healthcare needs. So if you actually cared about saving taxpayers money, if all you had to do was miss a couple of golfing outlets trips, and then we'd be covered. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about the cost when it comes to him going and doing free ads for Mar-a-Lago and golfing.
Not-
he couldn't care less. This is to discriminate and to rile up his base and to do distraction. It is the most obvious thing in the world.
So we all know that it's not really about the cost, but it seemed completely out of nowhere that he tweeted these things, right? Mm-hmm. And we suspected that it was a distraction. But I realized something last night after the show. Look, he is aggressively attacking Jeff Sessions, his attorney general. And the reality is the right wing loves Jeff Sessions. They love the fact that he's against immigration, he's against amnesty. He's just, you know, right wing 101. He is the embodiment of what the right wing loves. And so if he's attacking Jeff Sessions this aggressively, that might turn off his base a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does he appeal to his base again? He starts with the demagoguery again. He starts talking about all these violent and dangerous immigrants. I don't know if you covered it, but he recently did a speech about undocumented immigrants, and he talked about MS-13 beheading people and just fear mongering about them. Yeah. Again, he's appealing to his base by doing this nonsense. It has nothing to do with cost. It has nothing to do with policy. He didn't even really think it through before tweeting it about it.
They say the Democrats do identity politics. What is this? This is identity politics.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll protect you from the scary trans community. And look, if you're a Trump supporter, even you know it doesn't have to do with the cost. You know it for a fact. And right now you're going, yeah, I know, but those people shouldn't serve. It's a distraction. I don't want them in the foxhole or whatever. But
mean?
You know it's not about the cost. And you know that Trump is lying about that.
Yeah. All right, moving on to some other news. A new study indicates that college students who smoke marijuana might actually suffer in their studies a little bit, which is not that surprising. But this study has raised a few alarms, a few red flags, and I want to give you the details about it. So this study actually took place in the Netherlands, near Amsterdam to be specific. And apparently,
that's a good place to do a study on pot.
Right. So now what happened in this one particular town is they were having issues with drug tourism. People from neighboring countries were coming in to some of these cafes smoking marijuana, and they were concerned about it. They were worried about crime and things like that. So go ahead.
Near Amsterdam, people were coming in to smoke pot?
Right.
Oh my God, heaven forfend.
So this is super interesting. So What ended up happening is two economic researchers in the area decided to look into, what would happen if lawmakers in the area changed the policy, and they did change the policy. They said, people who are not citizens will not be able to legally purchase marijuana. However, people who are here legally, people who are citizens, will be able to purchase the drug as much as they want, right? So all of a sudden, they have this interesting potential study. They have a university with a group of students who can purchase the marijuana, continue using the marijuana, and then a group of students who are from other countries and they don't have access to it. And so the researchers looked at that, and the findings were kind of interesting. Let's go to graphic 8. Those banned from cannabis cafes had more than 5% increase in their odds of passing their courses. Low performing students benefited even more. So that was the outcome. I don't think 5% is that interesting or that significant. Maybe some of you do, but also keep in mind that the study didn't look into whether or not the individuals who are cut off from legally purchasing the marijuana were buying it from other places. You know what I'm saying?
So there's definitely a couple of issues with this study, which is that there might be some self-selection in there as well. They might have had more time to study because they weren't traveling all the way to Amsterdam. Right? Well, and you don't know that they weren't smoking weed at home.
Right.
So a number of issues with the study. But if you found out that students who stopped smoking pot did a little better, 5% better in school, would you really be surprised? So if that is the most damning thing that they've got on pot, ooh.
I know. And also, look, I don't want people who are underage to be smoking marijuana, right? Mm-hmm. But once you're an adult, you get to make your own decisions. And so if you are 18 and older, you're going to school and you decide, I wanna wake and bake, I wanna smoke marijuana all day long, of course that's gonna not necessarily for everyone, because I think it affects people differently. But if it affects you in a negative way, that's not surprising. It slows some people down. Other people become more analytical.
If you take it before a test, good luck remembering anything. Right, so that's very believable. But on the other hand, they've never done a study, not that I know of, on the effect of alcohol on students. So if you do guys who are getting drunk and guys who are not getting drunk, and how do they do in school? Mm-hmm. My guess is you're going to find something a little bit bigger than 5%.
Right. Yeah.
So, but look, we're keeping it real. And so if there are issues with pot, and we've reported a couple other stories, we tell you that too. But overall, legalize.
Exactly. All right, let's take a quick break. The next story is somewhat serious. Break, and then we'll cover a video of inmates escaping. They filmed it, and it's super fascinating. And then some really good news for the future of Alzheimer patients.
Oh, that story is amazeballs.
Yeah.
That's a really important story. Okay, you're not, and once you, all right, I'm not gonna make the joke. All right, we'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Cenk and Anna with you guys. Miri writes in, I wouldn't have gotten my degree without pot. It helped me focus and held my social anxiety at bay. Okay, well then there's
That's what I'm saying. It affects people differently. And so it makes me way more analytical. If I'm sitting and I'm reading an article, I think about it in ways that I wouldn't if I were.
Everybody reacts super differently to it. Cynthia Sorensen writes in, I smoke and I can read a whole chapter with no interruption, but remember some of it. Okay. Travis Moore says, study high, test high, get high scores. Okay, if you say so. It probably would not have worked for me. And the members of the day are Michael Hagermark and Dale Carsonston. So Dale and Michael, thank you guys, really appreciate it. You make independent media possible. Last 2 days of free trial membership for a whole month. So go to tytnetwork.com/join, enter the promo code FREETYT. One other thing, Politicon's this weekend. Anna's gonna debate Ann Coulter, I'm gonna debate Ben Shapiro. Haas is gonna debate Charlie Kirk, a young Republican. I have no idea how that's gonna go, neither do you. I'm gonna be on a panel about what the Democratic Party should do. You know who's, I just remembered who's on that panel.
Who?
Senator Klobuchar.
Oh my God, that's so good. Oh, it's okay. So good. I'm excited.
Simone Sanders, who used to do communications for Bernie Sanders, on the panel. So if you're gonna go, politicon.com/TYT, that's on Saturday and Sunday in Pasadena here in Southern California, politicon.com/TYT. Oh, and tonight, Aggressive Progressives. So if you guys are not members, you can catch it live at 6 o'clock. The first segment is always free to everybody. I say 6 o'clock Pacific, of course. It's 9 o'clock Eastern, right here on TYTnetwork.com. And then, but if you want to get the whole show, again, if you sign up for membership now, you can also access the archives, get a lot more Aggressive Progressive than you know what to do with. TYTnetwork.com/join, promo code free TYT. Okay, what's next, Anna?
All right. In January of 2016, three inmates managed to escape from a prison in Southern California. And interestingly enough, they filmed themselves doing so, and that film has just been released to the public. Now, to give you a little bit of context before we show you that awesome film, they used a contraband cell phone, and the three individuals were Hossein Nair, Jonathan Tu, and Tain Duong, and they documented their escape from a maximum security wing of the Orange County Jail in January of 2016.
That warms my heart. Look at Americans getting together. That appears to be a Muslim name and two Asians.
Yes. Now, it shouldn't warm your heart too much because they had very serious charges against them, murder charges among them.
Do I have to point out that I'm kidding?
Right. Yeah.
Of course, I don't want murderers escaping from prison.
Right. Now,
and okay. You should do your maximum security prisons a little, you should come correct a little bit better than this.
Right. Now, they haven't been convicted yet, but again, they have serious charges against them. And the good news is that they've all been captured. One of them turned himself in, and the other two were later caught 400 miles away from the prison.
Wow, so that's a long way from the prison.
So they get caught. So since they're caught, we can have a little bit of fun. Okay.
Oh, thanks, Scott.
Here is the video of them escaping.
Hossein Nayari, the alleged mastermind, even narrates.
As far as setup goes, well, we had a duffel bag and a backpack full of stuff.
He shows a sawed-off bed leg, then lifts a metal screen to slip out, giving a thumbs up to the camera. Set to the theme of Mission Impossible, you can see their journey through the jail walls along a makeshift ladder. Eventually, they get to the roof.
That is amazing.
Okay, a link in the description box if you want to watch the whole report. Good job on the report there by the local station. Okay, they set it to music. That's amazing.
They like made a movie out of it.
Yeah, if they weren't potential or possible murderers, you'd kind of root for them. It's a little Shawshank there, and it was good production quality. I mean, he had nice narration. He had the Mission Impossible thing. The last thing I was expecting is he drops from the roof and then and then hovers above the floor.
But this isn't just like a county jail. You know what I'm saying? It's a maximum security prison. Maximum security. And look, one of the biggest issues was that they were lacking resources. They were underfunded and understaffed. And so as a result of this escape, lawmakers in the area decided maybe we should allocate a little more money and a little more resources just to make this maximum security prison a little more secure.
But,
right.
You know, but the thing is, it's not like Shawshank. In Shawshank, he spent like years digging a tunnel. How maximum security is it? I mean, look, it's not easy to tell exactly the route.
Right.
But from that video, it seemed like they just knock out something from the wall, and there's a giant like escape hatch there. Like, did no one look at the blueprints and go, should we have this enormous thing that leads to outside? That you could just knock out a vent and then go into?
Right, it's just a metal screen and it's not that easy to break through it. But again, in response to this jailbreak, the Sheriff's Department increased staffing by $4.5 million annually, and they did hire 22 new deputies and officers to man the facility. And look, here's the thing, here's the bigger problem, right? If we didn't incarcerate all of these nonviolent offenders who just get caught with possession of drugs, well, then maybe we can focus our resources on people who actually are a threat to society or a danger to society, right? And unfortunately, we don't do that. We're spreading our resources thin, imprisoning people who are not violent, who, if anything, might need some rehabilitation for their drug use. Not if you're smoking marijuana. You don't need rehabilitation for that, right?
Yeah.
But you guys know what I'm saying. Like, we're wasting our resources day in and day out.
No, Anna's exactly right. We're going the Duong way.
You just you say Asian names so much more confidently than I do. I'm like,
Well, they're my family.
I know.
So it makes it a little easier. Although I think those were Vietnamese names.
Oh, okay. I don't. Okay.
I'm pretty sure, but not positive. Okay. Anyways. okay. Yeah.
I'm
like
in
it.
A funny mood.
Tien, Jonathan too. Yeah.
Let's just move on.
But I want to bet somebody that they're Vietnamese. Anyways, all right,
okay.
What's next?
All right, some good news for Alzheimer's patients. Researchers now believe that it is possible for those who are suffering from Alzheimer's to retrieve their memories if their minds are stimulated in certain ways. Now, this new study looked specifically at mice that have a similar condition regarding their memory. Now, to give you a little context into Alzheimer's, researchers have found that what causes Alzheimer's is the buildup of a sticky protein substance in the brain. It's an amyloid beta protein, that's what it's called. And so researchers realized that, you know, some Alzheimer's patients will suddenly remember things from their past if they listen to music or if their minds get stimulated in certain ways. And so they kind of started off with that point, and then they started looking at mice to see if there's ways that they can stimulate mice and retrieve some of their memories. So let me give you the details of their studies. Now, the Columbia scientists carried out their experiment on two sets of mice, one with the Alzheimer's-like condition and the other with healthy brain cells. Both groups were actually genetically engineered so their neurons glowed yellow when new memories were created and red when old memories were recalled. So they exposed both sets of these mice to a lemony smell, then gave them an electric shock to kind of scare them when they're triggered by that smell. A week later, they tested these memories by releasing the same lemon scent. Okay, this is where things get super interesting. While the healthy mice froze in fear, half of the mice with Alzheimer's disease did not because they couldn't remember that lemony smell. And the neurons that glowed red were not in the same place as the yellow ones, unlike in the healthy mice where they overlapped. So then the researchers were like, okay, now we need to find a way to stimulate their mind or their brain in a certain way so they can remember things. And here's what they did. When a blue laser was shown down a fiber optic cable into the brains of the mice with Alzheimer's, stimulating the part of the brain where the memory was stored, they froze, indicating these memories had been revived.
Damn.
Bananas.
Okay, so first of all, I would like to scream, hashtag science. I love science. People who are against facts and knowledge, I pity you. I pity the fool against science. All right, secondly, I'd like to say I'm a little bit like the mice. You know what happened when you, as you're telling the story, I'm like, ooh, lemon scent, that sounds really good. And then you said they got zapped, I was like, oh shit. Okay,
right.
Anyway, I'm a silly, silly man. Okay, now focusing on the really interesting revelations here. So science actually done some great advancement in being able to stop Alzheimer's going forward. So that's a different story. Mm-hmm. And so we think that we've got some new medicine that might be able to prevent it. So that now it does not, that medicine does not help people who already have Alzheimer's. So that's already a terrific advance. It's not quite ready yet, but it's getting there. Mm-hmm. So I love these kind of advancements that millions of lives it is going to change for years and years and years. Those people are going to live much better lives. So
yes,
it's wonderful. Now, secondarily, now this tells you the memories aren't even gone. So if you already have Alzheimer's, those memories can still be revived and brought back. Even better.
So
it's amazing.
That hypothesis has existed for quite some time because, again, as I mentioned, they notice, researchers and doctors notice that with some Alzheimer's patients, they'll be triggered by something, right, in a good way. So
like,
they'll hear
like a liberal.
Like a liberal, but in a good way. Again,
yeah.
Like they'd hear music, and all of a sudden they could recall things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a good starting off point. And now, you know, through this research, they realize, okay, we can bring back some of the memories of these mice. Now we need to find a way to apply it to humans. So, look, this is obviously very good news, but this is just a starting off point. There obviously needs to be more research done and a way to find how this applies to humans.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen overnight, guys. You got to do all that research. It's got to get approved. then you gotta take it to market, and then finally you can. But you have to do all that to make sure it's safe. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, we on the show have talked about how sometimes marijuana has this effect, mm-hmm. where it revives memories that you didn't like, you had totally and utterly forgotten. And weren't you talking about a family member?
Actually, yeah. So I have a family member who's elderly, in her 90s. And you know, she's old, so she's suffering from dementia, to be specific. And she also doesn't really communicate much anymore. She doesn't engage in conversations. And so she's losing a lot of weight because she has no appetite. And her doctor, surprisingly, this is a conventional doctor, told my dad, you know, you should get marijuana for her, but edible. Have her take edible marijuana and see if it helps with her appetite. And so he has a source that can access it. And so that source got him a chocolate bar that has marijuana in it, maybe.
And it's legal in California.
It is.
So we're not, okay.
I bought some pot for my grandma, okay? So anyway, this is the most amazing thing, and we didn't even expect it because she ate it, right? A very small dose of it, I think 10 milligrams or something. And her appetite did come back, but more importantly, all of a sudden, she was engaging in conversations about her childhood and when she raised my dad, and just, you know, and it was kind of amazing that it had that effect on her. So look, there are so many benefits to it, and I just wish that people like Jeff Sessions, like, sat back and smoked a doobie and kind of realized the benefits of it. But it's good news for people like my grandma.
So at the end, like if you've got something that works, just for God's sake, let people use it. And it's so simple, it's in nature, right? So #nature, awesome, love it, okay? Mm-hmm. And then in this case, to be able to, you know, figure this out, perfect it, and then bring it to market so that people's lives can be improved. Wonderful. So let's use both. Let's use nature, let's use science, but most importantly, be open to knowledge and facts. So if we've got new facts, let's adjust instead of saying, nope, we're gonna just keep doing it the old way.
Yep. All right, so we go from good news to terrible news regarding health, and specifically regarding men's health. So let's go to it. Researchers from the University of Jerusalem have looked into sperm count, because there has been a lot of disagreement in the world of science regarding sperm count. And there is one side that agrees that sperm count has gone down considerably for men over the last few decades, and then there are those who deny it. Well, this research done by the Hebrew University of Jerusalem found some pretty shocking evidence that male sperm count is decreasing in certain parts of the world. So sperm count in men from North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand declined by 50 to 60% between 1973 and 2011, and that's according to this study from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. But surprisingly, there was no decline in sperm counts in men from Asia, Africa, and South America, although there was limited data from these areas. Now, just to give you a sense of how this analysis was done, it was a meta-analysis that looked at 42,935 men in 50 different countries. And they didn't study why sperm count has decreased so much, but they did hypothesize about it. So we'll get to that in just a second.
Okay, so that's devastating. Mm-hmm. And we should redirect all of our resources to figuring out exactly why.
Right. So
those are not small numbers. Those are gigantic numbers. But luckily, they're not happening everywhere, which actually allows us to be able to study it, I hope, far more effectively. Mm-hmm. What is happening in these regions of the world that is not happening in other regions of the world? So if this continues, the results could be way worse. So there's.
I'm going to show you how bad that it could be if we don't do anything about it. If the data on sperm counts is extrapolated to its logical conclusion, men will have little or no reproductive capacity from 2060 onwards.
That's humanity challenging. That's you. Every once in a while, politicians will talk about existential threats, mm-hmm. and it'll actually be a tiny. Like, I don't want to minimize terrorism, but more people die from falling off of ladders than they do from terrorism. Mm-hmm. We should absolutely address it, but they will come out and say it's an existential threat. You know, we're all, you know, we're all going to pass away, we're all going to disappear, whatever.
Right.
No, this is an actual existential threat. If we can't make other humans, we don't exist anymore.
So, are we doing anything about the ladders though? That's crazy.
I feel
like we haven't really advanced in ladder technology in quite some time. But anyway, we'll talk about that some other day.
Yeah, so if you discount science and you say, "No, I don't believe it. I don't believe in all these different things," like whether it's 97% of the world scientists telling you it's climate change or the age of the earth. I mean, the list goes on and on, and you defund science. Well, then we can't figure out what's going wrong, and God help us, or in this case, science help us. Otherwise, we're doomed.
Yeah. So let's talk about what the researchers here hypothesize, because I think that's incredibly important. So they believe that exposure to chemicals could be one of the issues. Obesity rates is another issue that they want to look into as a potential cause for this. And then finally, climate change. And climate change, of course, you deal with extreme weather conditions and things like that.
I like the idea of extreme leather conditions. At some S&M parties, there are extreme leather conditions you have to deal with. Okay.
Anyway,
so tell me about the climate change. Why in this case?
So they don't know exactly why, but extreme weather conditions could play a role. And so they haven't hashed it out, as I mentioned. That's not something that they studied, but these are potential factors that they want to do more studies on so they can figure out what's really happening and why it is that, you know, men in a certain part of the world aren't really suffering from this.
I know it.
And yeah.
Okay.
I think I honestly, and I'm not an expert, and obviously I'm just guessing, so take this with a grain of salt. I think that the use of chemicals probably has something to do with this.
Yeah, no, that's exactly where I'm going with the speculation. So obviously I want them to actually do tests. I believe in science and figure out what the reality of it is. Climate change to me seems less likely because that seems to hit the world fairly proportionately. Mm-hmm. So climate change affects Asia, I think, pretty much as much as it affects North America. So I'd be surprised if that was the answer. Obesity.
I think obesity might have something to do with it as well.
It might, but and maybe that it's both. Maybe it's the chemicals that lead to obesity, whether it's whatever we're consuming, high fructose corn syrup, GMOs. I don't know. I'm not saying it's definitely GMOs. Don't freak out.
Pharmaceutical drugs, that could be a potential.
We take a lot more drugs here than they do in Asia, as an example. But these are all wild conjecture. Let's go. And what do we fund, right?
Right.
And so we're worried about, oh my God, are we going to do funding for a tiny amount of healthcare for transgendered people in the military?
Forget about that. We're talking about funding to the tune of like $70 billion. That border wall, right? That might be transparent because you've got to make sure you can see those like cartels, you know, trying to toss the 60 pounds of drugs over the wall. You got to see through the wall.
Yeah, the F-35s that waste the money, all the wars that waste the money. Our defense budget is gargantuan, and Trump wants to add $54 billion. I'm not trying to make it political. I'm just saying if the future of humanity is on the line, we might want to giddy up a little bit and spend more in this direction.
Right.
Can you imagine if we actually spent money to protect humanity instead of creating more wars? I know, revolutionary thought. Okay, look, if everything else didn't motivate you, your balls are on the line. So get going, your kids are on the line, everything is. It's not, if these numbers are true, it's not over exaggerating to say that.
You're right. And also, it's not just about sperm count. I imagine that this has a negative impact on the quality of sperm as well. And we do know that, I don't know if it's because we're more aware of it, but rates of autism have gone up, you know, things like that. So I'm curious whether this stuff is all connected. Again, I'm not the scientist, so I'm curious to see how this all plays out.
Well, I'm from an earlier generation, not affected by this. Quality's A-okay over here.
Okay. Anyway.
Hey, look, I already got my kids. I'm just trying to help millennials here.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
Yeah, it's pretty scary. Anyway, yeah, all right, let's move on. Um, A council in a Pakistani village has been arrested because of a ruling that they made in regard to a young girl who was raped. Now, this council is not the lawmaking body of this area in Pakistan, but since it's a rural area, they have members who make these ridiculous rulings in regard to people living in that area. And so earlier this month, the council told Mohammed Asfaq, he's 20, to
it's a funny name. I assume it's Ashfaq, but either way, anyway, sorry.
No,
sorry,
it's a serious story.
Okay, keep going.
No, now I can't.
No,
I have to
keep going.
It's a serious story though. Like, okay.
I know. Right. No, don't worry, I'm gonna rage later.
Okay. So let me just start this over again because I do not want to mess this up. All right. 25 people in a rural village in Pakistan have been arrested due to their ruling in a case involving a teenage girl's rape. So earlier this month, the council told a 20-year-old man to rape a 16-year-old girl after this 20-year-old's family accused the girl's brother of raping his 12-year-old sister. Okay, and so it's a hideous story from the get-go, from the very beginning. And instead of carrying out justice against the individual who allegedly raped a 12-year-old girl, they decided to victimize a completely innocent person. Okay, so they've victimized this 16-year-old girl. And keep in mind that members of this council who made this ruling were present during the time of the rape, which is disgusting. Okay,
but honestly, I think that's why they did it. Because this is not justice. They wanted to get off on it. And so it, look guys, it is that simple a lot of times. So how many times have people used religion and culture to do things that they want to do anyway? And so you'll have Muslim fundamentalists in Afghanistan somehow justify having sex with young boys, which is definitely supposed to be against their religion. And they'll find a religious excuse for it. You'll find Shia in Iran who will say, oh no, we could do temporary marriages. So you go get married to that hooker for an hour and then you come back. And but as long as you pay the mullah, okay? And then you saw the scandal in the Catholic Church. No, this is what God wanted. And you'll damage the church. Don't you complain about it as all those priests are raping all those kids. And so and sexually harassing them and molesting them and doing all those terrible things. And in this case, those guys, it's not like they're like, oh, we're so worried about justice. You didn't have to watch it. Why'd you watch it? Right?
Yeah, no. Why would you victimize an innocent 16-year-old girl if her brother was accused of doing something wrong? Why don't you go after her brother? And why is it that he's not the person who should face any consequences whatsoever? It's okay. In fact, you retaliate by victimizing this 16-year-old girl. It's disgusting. Now look, this is again a rural part of Pakistan. And there are laws in Pakistan against this, which is why this council got arrested for their ruling and what they did to the 16-year-old girl. So those arrested included 24 of the village council's 27 members, and also the 15-year-old boy accused of setting off the chain of events after being accused of raping the younger girl. So, you know, that was the 15-year-old boy who allegedly raped the 12-year-old girl, and that's what kind of led to this chain of events.
It's amazing that they didn't punish him, like the council.
It didn't even cross their minds.
Why? Because the guilty party must be the woman, even though she's the victim, right? And how are we going to address the female victim by victimizing another female, because God forbid you should ever punish men. And so look, I know that people say, well, no, it's part of their culture. That's right. Well, that part of the culture sucks. It's hideous, it's barbaric, and you know what you need to do? You need to change it. So if I've hurt your feelings because you think it makes sense to rape innocent girls for the crimes of someone else in their family, okay, then I hurt your feelings. Okay, but I can assure you that your crime is way worse than mine. So I do believe in the culture wars. I think culture is monumentally important. So culture is sometimes influenced by religion, sometimes it's influenced by geography, certainly influenced by socioeconomic and political events. And it creates And boy, is it affected by the media.
Right.
So now these guys are not getting a lot of media. They're stuck in the Stone Ages. And so that's a combination of what they've been doing in there for thousands of years, plus the religion coming in, right? So, but I don't, so, but just because you used to do something doesn't make it right. And this is what I can't get through conservatives' heads, whether they're in Pakistan or here, which they're like, oh, tradition, heritage. I know, but slavery was a tradition. It was a terrible tradition. It was our culture. It was a terrible part of our culture. In Central Asia, they kidnap women and rape them. And then they say, okay, now you have to marry me because I raped you. And her parents come over and convince her that she needs to marry her rapist.
Yep.
So that's right. Now it was came from a nomadic culture where you would go and you would do raids and you would literally rape and pillage. Mm-hmm. So I understand the genesis of the culture. It doesn't make it right. I understand that was your heritage. Not everything in your heritage is positive. So we have to be open to change wherever you are in the world. In this particular case, so Pakistan's government did the right thing here, because this is how you begin to get to change,
right?
Which is, no, we're not going to allow you to do that. I don't care how much you tell me it's your culture or your religion, it is illegal and you have to stop it. So beyond that, they should do education programs. And if you say, well, that's just indoctrination, yes, we indoctrinate people to eat with a fork and knife and spoon. Yeah. That's a fine indoctrination. We indoctrinate people to be decent to one another. And indoctrinating people not to commit senseless rape against girls who did nothing wrong is a wonderful indoctrination. It's much better than the indoctrination they're doing right now at the local level, where they're saying we should do it. Yes, sometimes your culture is wrong. So I know that's an uncomfortable fact, but this is an easy one. And we should all work together in all the different parts of the world to fight for progress and change when we need it. Okay, now we do have a little bit of time left, so I want to do a part of the Ryan Lizza story.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to do a part because it's such a great, great part.
So good.
Okay, so give me, let's see the normal background here. Okay, and I'll start it. Okay, so Anthony Scaramucci last night puts out a tweet about how Reince Priebus is a leaker. That's what he seems to insinuate. And saying that he's going to report him for felony crime to the FBI and Justice Department. Scaramucci is the White House Communications Director. Reince Priebus is the Chief of Staff. This is unprecedented within the same administration. He later deletes a tweet in a panic. And then he says, no, I didn't mean that it was Reince. Then he goes on CNN for half an hour and says, the fish rots from the head down and it's not me and the president, clearly indicating it's Reince. Okay? Right. But now that's settled because Ryan Lizza just came out with an article explaining that Scaramucci did call him last night, mm-hmm, and confirmed that he was talking about Reince Priebus. The knucklehead did it on the record. Oh no, but okay, so.
Oh, it's so good though. I'm so glad he did it on the record, because there are quotes in Ryan Lizza's piece that will never be forgotten.
So I want to concentrate on the Steve Bannon part here, because the Reince part has been talked about a lot. I don't know if he forgot to say it's off the record, or he was just like, he once famously said, I like to stab people from the front. Well, we've got some front stabbing here. So here's what Steve Bannon is, the chief advisor to the president who just hired Scaramucci. He says, I'm not Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own cock. What?
Communications director.
That's the communications director for the White House.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh my God. And then he said, I'm not trying to build my own brand off the fucking strength of the president. I'm here to serve the country. Wow. So the White House is in an open state of warfare with itself.
Yes.
Everybody hates everybody else at the White House. The management incompetence here is record breaking. Mm-hmm. No one has ever been this incompetent as a manager, at least in the public sphere. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, I'm going to hire, just Trump now, I'm going to hire a bunch of you guys, okay? Now, Scaramucci in the CNN interview said about him and Reince, we're like Cain and Abel. One of them killed the other one. And he said that on TV. Anyway, so the reason for the bad blood in the background is that Scaramucci sold his financial company because he thought he was going in the Trump White House. And Reince Priebus prevented that,
yes,
earlier on in the beginning of the administration.
Yes.
So this is like Sopranos level stuff. So he I guess in Scaramucci's words, he cock blocked him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, so Scaramucci is like, what the hell, I sold my company and I'm out here. And so finally Trump goes, I'm gonna hire Scaramucci to do communications. Reince Priebus, who apparently was right about this, is like, that's a really bad idea.
Right, and that's the reason why Sean Spicer resigned.
So he can't block him. So Scaramucci comes in, Spicer goes, this is outrageous. So I'm leaving. Spicer was connected to Reince Priebus. And Scaramucci comes out and he's just like, he's got a couple of shivs. He's like, so Reince Priebus, oh wait, hold on a second, Steve Bannon, I don't suck my own cock like you do.
Or try to. Okay. Try is the important word there. No, but okay, so that was great. And the quotes that come from Ryan Lizza's piece are amazing and you should read the entire piece. But to me, the most interesting component was the fact that Scaramucci called Ryan Lizza to understand who the source was from the White House who let Lizza know that Trump had a meeting with Sean Hannity and a bunch of other goons, right? And so Scaramucci's freaking out. He's like, who told you that? Who told you that? I need to know. I'm gonna fire everyone in the communications department unless you tell me who it is. And Ryan Lizza's like, I'm not telling you what my source is, dude. Like, that's not gonna stop me from protecting my source.
Okay, right before he sent the now infamous tweet about Reince Priebus, Scaramucci tells Lizza, yeah, let me go though, because I gotta start tweeting some shit to make this guy crazy.
Oh my God, what is going on?
Okay, so when, let me see here, I guess this is, oh, then Scaramucci says, what I wanna do is I wanna fucking kill all the leakers. I wanna get the president's agenda on track so we can succeed for the American people.
Communications director. I mean, wow.
I don't have enough hands for the facepalm you have to do for this interview. Like, what? Okay, but the Bannon lines I think are the best ones. All right, so these are the clowns that are now in charge of our country. So this is all fun and games because they're all just stabbing one another. But these guys make decisions that affect everyone's lives. Sometimes life and death decisions. You trust them to make the right decisions? Look at how grotesquely incompetent they are.
Yeah.
These buffoons are now in charge of the most powerful military in the world and the biggest government. And I fear for us all. I fear for the planet with these guys in charge.
It's enough to scare a coochie.
Okay. All right, guys. We love you. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.